Oh, boy. Hymn 84 will stand, and we will sing the first, second, and fourth. First, second, and fourth. Great, great words, this old hymn.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crowns on my brow. If ever I love thee, my now. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, people. Please be seated. And it's such a blessing tonight to be able to say, my Jesus, I love thee. I love thee. Amen. Because there were 27 years of my life, nearly 28, that I did not love him. I did not care about him. And then he came into my life and changed everything for the better. Oh, we're so blessed tonight, church. Indeed we are. Let's grab our Bibles at this time. And some inclement weather today. Slim pickings tonight, but we're here and the Lord's here. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. Back to Psalm 119 tonight. What a nice looking Bible Rita has there in the front pew. Oh, that is nice. Got the tabs, too. Help you find the books quicker. Praise the Lord for that. Nothing like a brand new Bible, you know, breaking it in and getting the leather broken in. Oh, we're so blessed to have access to the Word of God so freely and openly in America. There are countries where the Bible is banned, outlawed. They'll put you in jail in Turkey if you have a Bible. Throw away the key, too. So we're very blessed to have the privilege of liberty in America. Those liberties are changing as we see the day approaching. And I should say encroaching, because it's coming quick. And persecution is going to be stepped up against us. We know that with an ungodly government in power. So we just need to be faithful. Amen? Yep. Just be faithful to the Lord and realize that it's all in His hands. Everything is in His hands. Well, as we come back to our studies in the book of Psalms tonight, Psalm 119, we come to verse 65. Verse 65, please remain seated. In verse 65, we come to the Hebrew letter Teth, and we read, "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for verses 65 through 72, the Hebrew letter Teth. How we thank you for the glorious truths couched within these verses. And Lord, how we thank you that this is for us today. Though it was written so many years ago, some 3,000, yet, Lord, every single verse here is applicable to us in our Christian lives today. That's the Word of God. It's alive, it's active, and it's powerful. I'm so glad it worketh in us, in our lives who believe. And Lord, we just ask you to bless us tonight as we study together. And we pray, Lord, thank you for these few that are here tonight. And we pray for those who are not able to attend because of health situations, because of the weather, whatever the situation might be, that you just bless each and every one and bring us back together this coming Sunday. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Well, folks, tonight we come to our Hebrew letter Teth. And, of course, all eight verses of this section begin with the letter Teth in the Masoretic text, made for easy memorization. So let's jump right in tonight. First of all, let's notice four things mentioned by David in verses 65 and 66. Look at verse 65. Four things he set right away mentions. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe thy commandments. Now, the first thing he makes mention of is a thankful acknowledgement of God's gracious dealings with him all along his pilgrimage. Look at verse 65. He says, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord. He's saying, you've been so gracious to me, Lord. You've been so good to me. Oh, I'm so blessed because I have the living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, observe here, beloved, that David did not forget how well the Lord had dealt with him. Amen? I like that word. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant. He always does, you know. Every single one of us may say, Lord, thou hast dealt well with me, even much better than I deserve. The Hebrew word here for well is taub. Taub means pleasantly, kindly, beneficially. Go to Psalm 128. Thou hast dealt beneficially with me, O Lord. Yes, he has. In Psalm 128, look with me at verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Psalm 128 verse 2 says, for those who fear the Lord, it shall be well with thee. So I like that. Future tense. Not only is it well with you and I today because of Jesus Christ in our lives, but it shall be well with us forever in the future. Oh, I'm so glad of that. Gives me great security. The second thing David mentions in his fourfold mentioning is that God always acts according to his divine promises. Amen. Look at verse 65 again. We read, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Now notice here in verse 65 that God always acts according to his word of promise. Amen. David acknowledges that the reason that God was so good to him, that God dealt so well with him, that God blessed him so much, was because his word said he would. Amen. I'm so thankful that God's word says he will indeed deal well with us. It's just so good to know that God always keeps his word. God always keeps his promises. I can depend upon what he says in my daily life. Thirdly, David, that's not tap water, is it, brother? Good, good. Thirdly, he mentions, we don't want you to keel over and go to heaven. He mentions, thirdly, his petition before God. His third mention is his petition. Look at verse 66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge. Now, brethren, yes, indeed. Here's what you and I need from God. The gift of discernment. Amen? Folks, we're living, it boggles my mind. Because I talk to Christians all the time that seem to have no discernment whatsoever. I've got a lot, like 5,000 friends on Facebook, you know. They're all Christians, I think. But some of them, under their, you know how you have your profile page?
Yeah.
Is a Christian, and the very next line, politics, Democrat. I've never been able to figure that one out. How can you possibly be in favor of Obamacare and all this garbage that comes out of the White House and you know Jesus Christ? Maybe they're just going through the motions. I don't know. I take them at their word when they say they're saved. But it's strange to me. There's no discernment. Amen? Look at verse 66. David says, Lord, teach me good judgment and knowledge. He says, I want to have a discerning heart, Lord. I want to have good judgment. Now, beloved, when he says good judgment there in 66, he's talking about making choices in it, yes, and in your intellect and in your heart and what you're choosing. That's divine judgment. He wants good judgment according to God's word. And you've got to pray for it. Amen? Now, this is the gift of discernment. This is the ability to perceive what is right and the will to choose it. Amen? The good judgment here is godly wisdom. Godly wisdom to comprehend what is right in the sight of God, and the knowledge is the basis for what is right. The Word of God. Did you catch that? The knowledge of God is the... Look at verse 66 again. Teach me good judgment. That's wisdom to choose what is good. And knowledge. That's knowledge according to the knowledge of God. Right? Hebrews chapter 5. Hold your place. We're coming back. In Hebrews, look with me in chapter number 5. The Bible speaks quite a bit about this topic of discernment and having knowledge to choose what is right over what is wrong and evil. And it's so important today, folks, that we have this godly discernment by the Holy Spirit, because the world is watching us, right? We're supposed to be godly examples to them. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 5. Look with me at verse 12. The writer says, for when the time, talking to Hebrew Christians, by the way, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now, these Hebrew Christians had been saved for some time, but they hadn't grown spiritually. They had no discernment between good and evil because they hadn't grown. Look what he says. For everyone that useth milk, the milk of the word, is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He is spiritually immature, he's saying. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That's a mature Christian. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Paul says, look, the way that you're going to get good godly discernment in your life is by reason of use. Use of what? The word of righteousness. He tells you right there in the text. Use of the word. Listen, you know how these bodybuilders, they work out and they exercise. Every day they're building their muscles. This is how we need to be building ourselves spiritually. Exercising ourselves spiritually. With what? The word of righteousness. The more the Bible gets in you, the more you get in the Bible, the more discernment you have. And Lucas says amen to that. Now, this is what we need. We need discernment. Verse 66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, Lord. Fourthly, notice the basis for David's petition. Verse 66. What is the basis? He says, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. You see that? Psalm 119, verse 66. David says, the reason why I want to have discernment in my life and live a godly life is because I have believed. David was a true believer. And so are you. Amen? We have believed Jesus Christ and his word. And therefore we need discernment. He says, Lord, I'm now a true believer in Messiah. Therefore, look what he says. Therefore, teach me. Teach me. Discernment. Go to Isaiah 53. Hold your place in Psalm 119. Hold your place in Psalm 119. In Isaiah 53. And look with me at verse 1. David said, Isaiah the prophet says prophetically, who hath what? Believed our report. Now the report he's speaking of here prophetically is the gospel of grace. Okay? It's the gospel. He says, who hath believed our report that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again from the dead? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? See? Isaiah asked a question. Who has believed? If you have believed, you need to seek God's discernment and ask him to teach you. He will. You know what? The Holy Spirit of God is in you. And the Bible says he is our teacher. He wants to teach us his word. He wants to show us deep things that we've never seen before. But we have to desire it. And we have to pray for it. Amen? Secondly tonight, not only David's fourfold petition, but secondly tonight, observe David's testimony. His testimony of chastisement. Verse 67. Look at verse 67. David says, this is a personal testimony of chastisement. And every one of us could give one. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Now, beloved, notice carefully here the threefold order of divine chastening. First, he went astray. That's he detoured from God's path for his life. Anybody done that? My hand is up. We all have. We've all messed up. We go astray sometimes. But the second step was that he was afflicted by God. Look at that, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. So see, when he went astray, God afflicted him. That's chastisement. Not because God was mad at him, not because God hated him. It's because God loved him. And he wanted to get him back in the right way, right? Second step, he was afflicted by God. That's chastisement. The third step, he repented of his sin and became obedient to God. Look at it, verse 67. But now have I kept thy word. Oh, folks, there's a beautiful picture here for the child of God of chastisement, which every single one of us need occasionally, and every single one of us have received, because our Father desires to bless us and desires for us to live right. Hold your place in Psalm 119. Go to Hebrews again. Hebrews again. I tell you that chastisement is a beautiful thing. Oh, yeah. It may be painful for the moment, but it's a beautiful thing because it causes us to look up and get our eyes back on Jesus where they belong. Amen? Look in chapter 12 of Hebrews. A beautiful portrait is painted by the Holy Spirit of God's chastening hand upon a disobedient child of God. Now, when you sin, let me make a statement. You don't lose your salvation. No. You will be, if you're a true child of God, you'll be chastened by your heavenly Father because he loves you to bring you back to his will. But you do not lose your salvation. All right. Now, look with me here in Hebrews chapter 12. And look with me at verse 6. Paul writes, for whom the Lord, what? Loveth. He chasteneth, that's punisheth, and scourgeth every son, notice the every son or daughter, whom he receiveth. So every child of God, at some point in their life, they're going to receive chastisement. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Every father, good father, will chastise his son. Will punish him when he does wrong, that he might learn to do right. Verse 8. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Now that word bastard in verse 8, means illegitimate child. Illegitimate child means you're not God's kid. Okay? You're someone else's kid. Everybody in the world has got a father, a spiritual father. It's either God or Satan. Look, verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? He says, how much better is it for us to receive chastening from the Father of our spirit, our immaterial part? For they, our human fathers, verily, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, our heavenly Father, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. I love that verse. God wants you and I to be partakers of his holiness. And sometimes he has to chasten us to get us there. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. No, it can be painful. But grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, after the chastisement is done, it yieldeth, that's produceth, the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. He says, after you and I are chastised by our Heavenly Father, it produces righteousness in our lives. It teaches us to do right and be blessed rather than to do wrong and be chastised and punished, right? So, back to our passage in Psalm 119. Look at verse 67 again. We see it clearly. David says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now that I've been afflicted by my Heavenly Father, I have kept thy word. That's the result of biblical chastisement. We learn to walk with God by his Holy Spirit in obedience to his word and will. All right. Thirdly tonight, David next acknowledges the goodness of God, the clear-cut goodness of God. Look at verse 68. David says, thou, just after the chastisement, he says, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Now, beloved, do you realize tonight that the divine streams of God's goodness are so numerous and so full and strong that they reach all of his creatures in all of his creation? God's goodness extends to all the world, even the lost. Oh, yes. How we must acknowledge his goodness with admiration and holy love and thankfulness to him. Aren't you glad that God's a good God? Imagine if he was mean, like the devil, and just whipped us and just beat us and tortured us day and night, mind, heart, and body, and soul. How horrible a life would that be? No, he's wonderful. He's good. And look what it says, verse 68. Thou art good and doest good. He does good to us in our lives. I love that. He's not just good intrinsically, but he does good to us because we belong to him. Go to Psalm 25. Hold your place again. Psalm 25. And in Psalm 25, of course, we have David speaking. Look with me at verse number 8. What's that first word? Good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, will he teach sinners in the way? God is so good that he wants to teach you and I how to live right. That's how good he is. Now, folks, I got to make a statement here. As you're looking at verse 8 of Psalm 25. What benefit does the Lord have if you live right and you walk in his ways? Answer, none. You are not adding anything to God. God is eternally self-existent and sufficient without us. I'll tell you who it benefits. It benefits you, and it benefits me. Amen. Listen, God is good and upright, and he will therefore, because of his goodness, he will therefore teach us, as sinners, the right way to live. Not for his own sake, for our sake. Somehow you got to get a hold of that. He's teaching you how to live right for your sake, because you're the one that's blessed by it. Oh, this is so good. God is good. But fourthly, tonight, fourthly, back in Psalm 119, notice two things concerning the wicked. Two things concerning the wicked in verses 69 and 70. David writes, "The proud," that's the wicked, "have forged a lie against me. But I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart," the wicked, "is as fat as grease." Wonder what that means. "But I delight in thy law." Now, two things are mentioned here concerning the wicked who were persecuting the king. First, David did not fear their malice, nor was he deterred from his duty by it. Look at verse 69. Verse 69. "The proud have forged a lie against me." Now, David was being slandered. David was being falsely accused. Okay? And this is what wicked people will do, because they don't like the fact that you're saved and you're a Christian. You carry that Bible. Now look, see here that the wicked will fight against the righteous even by making false accusations against them. But look at what David did when they did this. Verse 69. "The proud have forged a lie against me." Oh, woe is me, they lied about. Did he throw a pity party? Did he? Lucas is laughing because that's ridiculous. Oh, I'm going to go with the Carter and Pout. No! Verse 69. "But I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart." He said, "I'm going to keep on serving God, no matter what they say about me. I'm not going to throw a pity party. I am not going to feel bad and sulk and I get discouraged and depressed and defeated. No, I'm going to keep on keeping on with my God." Amen? He did. Now, that's first. He did not fear their malice. But secondly, he did not envy their prosperity. Look at verse 70. He didn't envy their prosperity. The wicked, "their heart is as fat as grease." What? Their heart is as fat as grease? Now, how in the world could David have known about cholesterol in 3,000 years ago? How it builds up on the heart, doesn't it? Our heart is a very interesting organ of the body. The Bible says, out of it are the issues of life. Right? And so we got to guard our heart with all diligence. Right? Now, observe closely here David's description of the wicked. He's saying that their hearts are full of the world and the pleasures and wealth of it. Amen? When he says their heart is as fat as grease, he's saying they've been eating too much. They're overindulging. Now, what that is, a picture of a carnal person. Yes, and drinking too much. That's right, Lucas. He holds up his cup. They're indulging in the pleasures of the world. And as a result, their heart is full of cholesterol. No, it's full of grease. Right? That's what grease, becomes cholesterol. Now, look at Psalm 123. This is amazing. This book is amazing. Look at Psalm 123. And look with me. At verse number 4. "Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of" who? The wicked. "Those that are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud." David's saying here that they are scorning. They're scorning him. They have contempt, that's hatred for him. And last word, they're proud. The wicked are proud because they're the children of pride. And Leviathan is the king over all the children of pride. Leviathan is, of course, Satan. He's saying here that the wicked are senseless, stupid, sensual, and sinful. Four S's, not good ones either. Look at Psalm 73. They're senseless, stupid, sensual, and sinful. In Psalm 73, a psalm of Asaph. Remember Asaph and his Asaphitis. That's a whole other message. But in Psalm 73, look at verse number 7. Speaking of the wicked, verse 6, "their pride, therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain." They wear their pride boastfully, proudly. Violence covered them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with what? Fatness. They have more than heart could wish. He's talking about the wicked. And he's saying they don't have a care in the world. They're eating, drinking, and making merry, for tomorrow they die. They have no concern for their eternal soul. None. And notice the word fatness in verse 7. Whenever you see the word fatness in the Bible, it's not talking about physical, you know, obesity. It's talking spiritually about evil in a person, okay? It's never good. Never good, fatness. Now, here we see clearly that David points to their wickedness and their senselessness because of the fatness of their eyes, and their heart is full of grease. No, what that reveals is an overindulgence, okay, of the things of this world. Now, notice here in verse number 69 and verse number 70, the last words of verse 70, but I delight in thy law. Notice the contrast. David had spiritual pleasures in contrast to the wicked's worldly pleasures. Look at that, verse 70. Their heart is as fat as grease. They're going to die before their time. But I delight in thy law. David says, I don't care about their wine bibbing and their overindulging, their feasts of carnality. And they called them love feasts. Yeah, yeah, more like, you know, wickedness. But folks, David said, I don't care about that. I don't envy them one bit. Why? Because I delight in thy law, O God. Can you say that tonight? Can you, when you see the world out there, oh, you know, Asaph had a problem. Asaph in Psalm 73 said, oh Lord, they're getting away with it, they're getting away with it. And then he went into the sanctuary of God and he said, oh, then I understood. I understood their end. And he said, how foolish was I to be envious against the workers of iniquity. Amen? It is absolutely foolish, child of God, for you or I to envy the wicked. Think of their end. And you'll realize there's nothing there for you or I. We rather delight in God's word. Amen? Fifthly tonight, notice David's recognition of... Almost done. Notice David's recognition of what is truly good for him. Verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Now, I want you to think about something. In verse 70 and verse 69, David's talking about the wicked. They're whooping it up. They're partying. They're having a good old time, they think, right? And David says in verse 71, I have been afflicted by my God. I have been chastised by my God. They're not chastised by my God. They're having a good old time in sin. And they're not chastised by God. But I am. Look what he says. Verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Now, listen carefully. David understood and recognized what was truly good for his eternal well-being, that God chastened him. God loved David. God didn't love those wicked ones who rejected him and stuck their fist in his face and said, depart from us. We desire not the knowledge of thy ways. But he loved David. Now observe the heart of true piety here. David could speak experientially concerning the rod of God in his life and the benefits received thereby. You remember, David was chastened like no man I know of. Man! He was Absalom, his own son, cast him out of the kingdom. I mean, his son, we won't talk about his other son, what happened with Tamar. And all of this evil came upon the house of David because of his sin with Bathsheba. That's the affliction, the chastisement that God brought upon this man's life. And he learned. He learned to fear God and keep his commandments. He learned the hard way. And sometimes we need to learn the hard way. But he received great benefits from that affliction and from that chastisement. Look at verse 75. David says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. He says, Lord, you did it because I needed it. You're a faithful God. And everything you do is right. I like that. He says, thy judgments, if you judge that I need chastening, Lord, that's a right judgment. Why? Because thy judgments are right. They're always right. Do you realize that God's never made a mistake? We're serving a God that has never had to say, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. Never! He's never done wrong. He's never sinned one time in all of eternity. He's never made a wrong step. Wow, what a God we serve. Look at verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Can you say that tonight? You know that everything he does is right, and anything he allows in my life is for my good, ultimately. Maybe not today, we can't see it, but we'll understand it better by and by. Amen. Now, go with me to Job chapter 21. Job recognized something that was good for him. In Job 21, the rod of God is good for the soul of man, I'm here to tell you. I always tell folks, Christian folks, don't shy away from God's chastening hand. You hear it and answer it by obedience and repentance. Look with me in Job 21. Look with me at verse 9. Their houses are safe from fear. They're wicked. They don't have any fear. Neither is the rod of God upon them. See that? That's the rod of chastisement. God does not chastise the wicked, the lost of this world. He chastises you and me because he loves us, but he will not spank another man's kids. That's the devil's kids. That's the devil's crowd. And God won't correct them unless they repent and get saved. See that? The rod of God is not upon them. It's not. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 29. Hold your place again in Psalms. In Proverbs chapter 29. Oh, I count it precious that my Heavenly Father loves me enough to correct me when I need correction. And we all do at times. In Proverbs chapter 29. Just about done, folks. Look up with me at verse 15. Verse 15. The what? The rod and reproof give what?
Wisdom.
You'll get wisdom, godly wisdom, when your Heavenly Father chastises you. You'll learn a lesson from that episode. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Any child of God left to himself will bring his Heavenly Father shame. That's why God does not abandon us after we get saved. He begins to mature us spiritually. And many times he has to use the rod to do it. Right? And it's painful at the time, but it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to us who are exercised thereby. Now, back to our text. Finally tonight. Just when I got to Proverbs. Finally tonight, observe David's most prized treasure. His most prized treasure. Verse 72. I love this. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. David says, Lord, you know what? My most prized treasure in this life, in this entire universe, is the law of thy mouth. Can you say that tonight, child of God? Is this word of God so important to you that it surpasses every other thing in your life, that it is the most important possession you have? Because David could. David said, Lord, the law of your mouth, which is your words, are better to me than thousands of gold and silver. You know what the world seeks after? Gold and silver. Gold and silver. Give me gold and give me silver. Let me hit the lottery. They want to get rich. But they don't want God's word. Yep. See that? The opposite for David. The law of God's mouth. Do you realize? I like the wording there. Because when you read the Bible, God is speaking to you. Amen? Isn't that good to know that when I open the pages of the Bible, my Heavenly Father is literally speaking to me? Why? Because he's in me. His Holy Spirit is in me. And he's talking to Bob Oliver when I study this book. I love that because it affects my life. Amen? The law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of silver and gold, O Lord. Go with me to Psalm 19. In Psalms 19, oh, that's so good to know that the Word of God is your most prized treasure in life. I did not read this book. I did not care about this book, not a whit, for 28 years of my life. But the day I got saved, I couldn't get enough. My sister will tell you right quick, that man could not get out of that Bible. You'd have to pry him with, you know, the crowbar. Look at me in Psalm 19. It became precious to me. Psalm 19. Look with me at verse 7. David says, the what?
The law.
Law of the Lord. In Psalm 119, verse 72, he said, the law of thy mouth. Same thing. The law of the Lord is perfect. I like that. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward.
David says, you know what, Lord? There's nothing like your word. There's nothing that can compare to it in all the universe. Beloved, we have the most prized possession this world can have. Back to Psalm 119. We'll finish up with this. Look with me. Psalm 119, verse 127. 127. David says, therefore, I love thy commandments above gold. Yea, above fine gold. Previous verse, he said, the wicked have forsaken thy law, Lord. Therefore, I love it even more. Folks, I don't care how many perversions they come out with calling it a Bible. I don't care. Westcott and Hort, those men did more evil to this generation than I think anybody, because they successfully perverted the Word of God. But I'm so glad that the King James Bible still stands, and it is the pure Word of God. Amen? And we love it above gold, yea, above much fine gold. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for these incredible verses. But more so, Lord, we thank you for the entire Bible. The preserved, infallible, verbal, plenary, inspired Word of God. We thank you that we've got it tonight. Lord, we thank you that it is everlasting. It is eternal. It cannot be corrupted. It cannot be defeated. And it can never be destroyed, because it is the Word of God and not of man. We thank you for it, like David, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals tonight. We will close with an hymn. I tell you, as we continue to progress through Psalm 119, just seems to get better all the time. Let's go to 67. We'll finish up with hymn 67. And pray that this rain will cease and we'll be back to normal Sunday. Aren't you glad that Jesus paid it all for you and me? First, second, and fourth, people. First, second, and fourth. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe.
I hear the Savior sing, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he was Lord, now indeed I find thy power in thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt that heart of stone. Jesus, paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Oh, think about this one. On the fourth. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left the snow. One more time. He washed it white as snow. Oh, yes. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for washing our sins whiter than snow. Well, praise the Lord. Father, we thank you so much tonight for a great Wednesday night service. And, oh God, I thank you that whether there be 10 or 10,000, you're present amongst us. And that makes all the difference, your presence, Lord. We love you tonight and we thank you for the encouragement, Holy Spirit, that we've received tonight from these verses of Psalm 119. And, Lord, like David, we love the law of thy mouth above gold, yea, above much fine gold. In fact, above anything else. We thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.